still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another awesome Lenten edition of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio for the Almighty. And yes, we invite you once again, we're going to keep doing it, to join us to go more deeply into this great adventure of marriage and family at ilovemyfamily.us. And there you will find many different wonderful things. Mm-hmm. But in particular, we point you to the Live It Gathering Guide. What is it about? It is image the Trinity, what we are called to be, what we are called to do. There you will find a guide to help foster that conversation and prayer that we know we all long for in our homes.
Very formidable, right? That I would say over years of doing this, becoming an old guy, I can now speak with decades of experience. If you are a parent or grandparent and asking the question, what is decisive for our children and grandchildren to truly own their faith in Christ? What is decisive? Like, what distinguishes those families, all of whom hopefully that's the baseline, is receiving the sacraments? Yes. And learning the truths of the faith. Yes. Being forged with an understanding. Let's just presume that those are necessary. Those are the foundation, right? But what's decisive beyond that? We're just going to say that from our experience, it is those who understand that relationship is the heart of ritual. Relationship is the heart of religion. It doesn't mean no religion. It doesn't mean no ritual. It means, can we enter into a place, as John Paul II would say, of empathetic understanding, the nature of love? And specifically, what does that look like? Well, it's looking at these wonderful human beings God gave us as an occasion to be forged for eternal life. I'll say that again. He gave us our wife, our children, our family as an occasion to refine us for eternal life. So if it hurts, guess what? That's part of refinement. That's part of the forging. That's what family is all about. He gave us that as an occasion to foster an ever deeper intuition, care, concern, and the kinds of interactions that we have are absolutely essential to foster that. So this is once a week an occasion to make that happen. If we really want to foster that, because it doesn't happen. You know, people say, well, it should be organic. Yes, it should be an ordinary course of conversation. But I'm going to say a day becomes a week, becomes a month, becomes a year. And we know this from young adults, from young people. They become adults and you ask the question, how meaningful in an ongoing way were your conversations with your parents? Did you speak about meaningful things? Did they ask you meaningful questions beyond, hey, how was the soccer game, or how did it feel to get an A in your grades? The if you will, the things in the important surface. But did your parents inquire about, you know, what are your pursuits? What's your mission? What did God make you for? What are you struggling with? What stands in the way of seeking his grace? How is the Lord speaking to you? You know, how can I be a better father? How can I be a better mother? You know, take that time to ask consequential questions. That is, brothers and sisters, what the Live It Gathering Guide is meant to do. On a weekly basis, set aside the stuff, declare what's important by making that time to talk and pray. Yes, you have time. We had 6 kids in 7 years. One weekend, we counted 14, 15 different sports events. We never missed this ever once. And I'll say it was decisive. As we're still working it out, those of you who know us, you know, fill in the blank, we're working it out. But I would say every single one of our children intentionally own their faith in Christ and are pursuing it amidst the challenges. It is foundational for them, and God desires that. And we see that with every family who do this. So I love my family.us. So,
and it's not too late, as we're a little past halfway. Oh my goodness.
Well, Lent. But this is a life journey, right?
But if you've been putting it off or just are kind of struggling with whatever this Lent, if you haven't started anything or whatever, let this be your sign. Let this be the commitment that we encourage you to make as a family.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, you see us right now. You see every struggle that we're facing, everything that may be haunting us, tagging after us, keeping us up maybe at night, coloring our relationships, coloring the way we see things. You see it all because you are over all. And you're reaching your hand down to us, Lord God, in the midst of it all and saying, trust in me. Every biblical story of every saint, everyone whom we know, who we respect, They're not distinguished by absence, Lord, of struggle and difficulty, but they're distinguished by, in the midst of that, acknowledging that you are reaching down, you're a loving Father, and you want us to say, I trust in you, Jesus. I surrender it all to you. Inhabit this heart and mind of mine. I give you permission. I give you that situation that seems beyond my control. I give you these children. I give you my grandchildren. I give you my spouse. I give you the people that we're working with right now, Lord Jesus. We lift them up to you, confident that you are powerful and that you will anoint our minds and hearts as to how we might respond to them with your loving presence. And so we give you this next hour, Lord God, as we journey more deeply into awareness of how you've come to earth and to awaken us and our homes to be mindful that these are the places. This is the retreat, the custom design retreat, Lord, you made for our ever deepening encounter with you. Every aspect of our lives, we declare that. Make us more mindful of it. Help us to see it. Help us to live it. We ask this in your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Steph, we began this year strongly moved to declare and to be instruments of Christ declaring to us, wanting us to say, heaven come to earth. Heaven come to earth. It's both a proclamation and a pursuit. So heaven come to earth is a proclamation no matter what we're experiencing. It's an awareness, whether we feel it, think it, make sense or not. Jesus, you are Lord, you are overall. Folks, read Colossians 1 if you have any questions or doubts about that. The earliest church that had struggles and challenges and discomforts that are beyond our imagination, they found the grace to say, Lord, in you all things were created. You made me for yourself. You hold me in existence. So heaven come to earth, heaven has come to earth in Jesus Christ. In the fullness of faith through the Catholic Church and through all those brothers and sisters who, to whatever degree, participate in that truth, heaven has come to earth and is being poured out for us to receive. So we proclaim that. And at the same time, we are incomplete, each of us. We're pursuing a greater fullness of this heaven come to earth.
So March 21st, Thursday at 6:30, we will be gathering for a special Lenten Ignite. Mm. We are taking up with the invitation of the wonderful people at St. John's, just this Lenten journey where Deacon Mark Genovese, shout out to him and his lovely wife, Kate, will be taking up the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary that we may enter this time more deeply into the passion through Mary's eyes. And it will be a beautiful evening of witness, word, worship, and confession. Mm-hmm. So there will be confessors there. It is Lent. Confession is awesome anytime and every time. But very often people really love to take advantage of that as we are called to repent and turn away from sin. Where can they get more information?
Great question. MassImpact.us/ignite. Registration is free again Thursday, March 21st, St. John the Baptist Point Place. Join us 6:30 p.m. Find out more at massimpact.us/ignite. So, Steph, out of the gates, just some more recent newsy things. I just want to give a proclamation first, as I was just declaring heaven come to earth. So, yes, as they say, proclaim and pursue in how God works very powerfully. So, a beloved niece of ours and her family have gone through a rather harrowing, and that is not an understatement. That is not an overstatement. It's an understatement. Harrowing experience in recent years that have involved their tremendous generosity as adults and a beautiful, I think, 5 children, taking in somebody whom they thought had Christian sensibilities, and over a period of a year to 2 years, discovered the degree to which that person they were taking care of was really under the oppression of an occult, might even say demonic oppression, possession, and the degree to which it began to consume the atmosphere and the environment, the relationships, is made for TV. It is just unbelievable, the story that played out, which you may hear about someday. So thanks be to God, through prayers and grace, the many jaded, jagged pieces that were happening under that roof in relationships. The woman has been evicted, if you will, and wherever she's at, we pray for her and pray for her to know her nature in Christ in whatever circumstances. But the family is very much with the exorcism, with the St. Dominic prayers, with the exorcist of their diocese.
St. Benedict.
Thank you. Seeing tremendous renewal and revival. Anyways, Perhaps related to this, to some extent, one of her children has been having seizures in a very regular way, sometimes multiple seizures. And they live a number of states away from us, but we love them so dearly. We were part of this process and praying and engagement that saw such deliverance. Again, tremendous story. I had offered throughout the weeks and months, can Stephanie and I call and just pray with you, pray over him by way of phone. And now it was an occasion where, okay, this is serious. So are you with him? I asked her. I'll call her Julie. I'll say, Julie, are you with your son right now, Steve? Are you with Steve in the emergency room? Yes. Can we call right now? Yes. So I'm just going to keep this really simple and say, it wasn't anything special about us. This power that God confers upon us is not a function of a special, you know, gift or anointing even. If you are baptized, you are called to be instruments of God's grace outpoured. And so we entered into prayer. Our Blessed Mother surrounding us, the angels and saints surrounding us, you know, asked for their permission because it is an authority question. Our niece and her husband have direct authority. So we asked for permission. And Steve, who's maybe 10 years old, was lying there again in coherent and such, having suffered a grand mal. It was magnificent and powerful for us to first just renounce directly, speaking to the infirmity, speaking to whatever malady of body that is Christ did not intend, God did not intend, but he allows us to participate in his healing presence. So we directly renounced the infirmity and we prayed for healing in the name of Jesus. It was that simple, renouncing and praying, then an infusion of grace. Well, it had been happening prior to that call and that prayer. The seizures had been happening very, very regularly, and it's been now a week plus, and there hasn't been any indication of any seizures. So we give glory to God for that, and I want to say that to those of you as an encouragement and a testimony that, yes, seek the available means God gives to the medical sciences. Absolutely. But don't miss that he is Lord, because often we face these maladies, spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical, and God is saying, you know, are you coming to me? You know, are you trusting in me? Any of us right now can think of some malady among our children, a spouse, somebody we work with, that merits more than maybe just praying for them or even just praying with them, but perhaps initiating and even just, you know, the little bit of awkwardness of putting the big toe in the water out of the boat, the comfortable boat, and seeing Jesus and saying, you know, I know that this is an inheritance, a powerful inheritance of the saints, which we are. We're saints in the making, small s on our way to becoming capital S saints. Say yes to God. As one of our dear friends, Jim Dudenhofer, said, one of the wise sages of our lives who's given such great witness, he's literally a rocket scientist, so this is not a guy who's stranger to science, but he said, you know, if there's no power, what's the point? So we may not see the power of praying with, for, and over, but he recognized, our friend Jim Dudenhofer, echoing, reverberating through so many people that we have come to know, do we have confidence in the power of Jesus Christ? We've been given a sword in the sheath. Are we taking that step beyond our comfort zones to pray over those who are closest to us? And I'm giving witness that that was a very powerful example in our lives. And it extended to our men's gathering with Father Ricardo group. We've got a large group of maybe six or seven men in their 20s and six or seven men who are my age, who've been now into the sixth week. And in the sixth week, we've navigated progressively, very powerful again, by the way. Go to Rescue Project and find the videos. You can see them for free. I encourage you to get the booklet and journey together with friends. We've been doing this. And one of the men, as we began in the beginning, shared that he had been battling, he had had a seizure a week earlier. And I shared the story I just shared with y'all. And it was amazing to have these men join in praying over this brother and how he received it, how he was just so blessed by it, I could tell. And the men to be mindful that, again, this is, I think, where often Catholicism falls short, is we know the truth, we hear our podcasts, we hear our stories, but are we, you know, with that currency that God gives us, are we spending it? Are we doing something about it? Are we instruments of him making a difference? Are we that hand in the logo of Father Ricardo's Rescue Project? Are we his hand reaching in and doing something about it? So such a blessing to lean in. Right now, you can think of one person that God is maybe prompting you to lean in and take a risk and pray with, for, but certainly over them.
So I think also more than anything, I have two longer thoughts. but
bring them.
So I think one of the most meaningful things as we spoke and prayed with our family members was the fact that we did it. I mean, praise God if the healing is there and continues. But I think more than anything, to hear our voices, to hear our hearts, to walk alongside, to do life with, to share in that suffering,
yes.
I think was just as powerful, if not more so. And so let that be an encouragement also to you, our listeners. The Lord doesn't always choose healing, right? But
the, evident healing.
The gift, yeah. Correct, as we are praying for it through our eyes or whatever. But the gift is so much more than that. It is that just that connection of heart and support in Christ and is so meaningful. I mean, we can all think of different times where we've been so moved by somebody reaching out or expressing concern or care or whatever that looks like with whatever situation. And that's just powerful stuff, right? So that is a little bit of an encouragement. And also, I think whether it's my thoughts landing here because of speaking of Lent, because of speaking of sorrowful mysteries, there's so much suffering in the world, so much suffering in each of our lives, right? And I know for us, in even in these last couple weeks, just so many people reaching out, some of them directly affecting us or people that we are close with, but also just different people reaching out, looking for support and prayer and just the heaviness of it all. And so the reality of suffering. And so I'm moved this past week, I think was the feast of Saint Colette that I knew very little about. So she had a quote that she said, "If there be a true way that leads to the everlasting kingdom, it is most certainly that of suffering, patiently endured," which always makes me think too of John Paul II and his encouragement of don't waste your suffering. Don't waste your suffering. The church needs it. And then to land on John Paul II, one of my all-time favorite quotes of his, which I've shared many times here on the radio, is suffering unleashes love. And so, you know, we can say we're, you know, we know where sin abounds, whether that's choice or just the effects of sin and suffering in the world. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And that's so true. So if you're just experiencing that heaviness, whether it's in your own life personally or those around you, I think of our priests so often and all that is shared with them and confidence, whether it's in the confessional or in their office. But people go to priests, right? As they should, you know, seeking that when they're going through difficult times. And so I pray also, I lift up our priests and I'm grateful for them. So prayers of thanksgiving, but also just a heart for the heavy hearts that they must constantly carry.
Can you just turn what you just said into a prayer? Let's take advantage of this time. As we've said to people again and again, God is inviting us to go vertical. And I encourage folks, those of you out there who find yourselves hopefully blessed to be talking about consequential, meaningful things, my encouragement is that you go vertical with it, with whomever you're with, and say, you know what, right now, okay, we're in the middle of this group, we're going around. This is an example of the young man recently in our Father Ricardo event.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord God, gracious Father, we turn to you, and we just thank you for all of the blessings in each of our lives, even the blessing of the cross of suffering. For you forge us in it. You are never closer to us than when we are brokenhearted, when we are in that suffering. Allow us to allow you in. Help us to more faithfully walk with you in it, to be mindful of all the graces that you desire to give us. Help us to walk more faithfully with those around us who are suffering. Give us your heart for them. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. We ask you to be that comforting presence for those listening right now who are dealing with such difficulties. We claim confidence in you to pray for, with, and over, to be your instruments. And Lord, in a special way, we lift up our priests, your priests. Fill them with the graces necessary to endure and carry all that is entrusted to them by the faithful who turn to them for their comfort and wisdom. Mm. Just bless them and protect them and be that everlasting source of strength and zeal and truth. We ask this all through the Mother of Sorrows, Our Lady, and through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Steph, two thoughts. First and foremost, I am moved in the context of this conversation, the streams of water that are flowing through it and guiding us. We didn't plan this. Many of you are hearing this nationally, but in our Toledo area, if you're needing and desiring special prayers over you, and oh, by the way, it can be as significant as a terminal illness, we have can give testimony to how God is literally miraculously healed, doctor validated by praying over others, all the way to emotional healing. But there's always healing when you pray over somebody. As Stephanie, you gave beautiful testimony to the fact God is always working. We believe that. We have confidence in that. So the invitation, alive@massimpact.us. Stephanie and I will make ourselves available in our home or whatever. We want to pray over you and with you, but we want you to know and have confidence in the power of Christ working all the time, but particularly in this season. So if you would like somebody to pray over you in the power of the Holy Spirit, again, it can and should be through any of us who are baptized, but we're making ourselves available. Send us an email, alive@massimpact.us. Part two, Steph, as you were just praying in particular for priests to know their dignified, ordained identity, unique, their mission on this earth, I'm drawn back to an Ignite. We actually were doing a three-day event. It was very, very powerful, three consecutive nights. Mm-hmm. And the pastor had experienced, shall we say, a fanning of the flame. When we say baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's fanning the flame of the grace that's conferred in the sacraments. That's the way Catholics understand this. And it's not a personality type. It's not a that's for them. No, each of us are called to be instruments of God's outpouring of grace, not according to what we want, what we're comfortable with, but Lord, use me how you want me to be an instrument. So he had experienced that, but it had become dormant over time. But he's a fabulous pastor. His parishioners love him. He would speak the truth boldly, faithfully. He'd minister in powerful ways. Empty, fill, and overflow characterized each of the three nights. I said, listen, if you are comfortable before Jesus here, you are in persona Christi, but Jesus with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist on this burning bush. Invite your parishioners forward if they want a special blessing. And of course, the grand blessing is the benediction, right? But this is an occasion before the Eucharist where you can pray for them personally, kneeling before Jesus. What a powerful image, folks. Think about that. So he was resistant. He said, well, you do that. And I said, listen, you know, I can, but I just want you to pray about whether or not you're supposed to, the your parishioners. And it may stretch you, but I want you to just trust that God has equipped you and it's in your heart, that there's something in this that I know is tapping why you became a priest in your core and why you want to do this beyond the administration, which you do so well, and all those other tasks. This is, along with confession and certainly the Mass, a most priestly thing that many don't do that is powerful. So, short story, he agreed. And after the first, I think the ice was thawed and there was a line of people, again, reverently around Jesus, worshiping him as Father laid hands on these people before the Eucharist. And afterwards, his words haunt me to this day. He said, in so many words, that's why I became a priest. I've never felt more in the role of my priesthood as then. And again, obviously, he's deeply loves the Eucharist, deeply loves the sacraments, but that kind of subjective, interpersonal, you know, in the form of God taking on flesh and blood, personalized prayer. And the feedback that he got from his parishioners was remarkable about the healing, the transformation, the gratitude of the grace outpoured. So to you priests, consider doing that. In fact, I invite you, if this is striking you right now, we're talking about March 21st, our Ignite Lenten edition. I didn't plan this either. But if what I'm saying speaks to you and you feel it within you to want to pray in a special, powerful way over the participants, number one, come and just participate. But if you as a priest feel that calling, I'm inviting you right now to send me a text or call me, but alive@massimpact.us and say, Greg, what you said man, that's in me. And I know it's a risk. I know it's something I haven't done, breaking my comfort zone, but I know God wants to work powerfully through me in that. Pick me. I would be delighted. We'd be delighted if you said yes to that. Steph, let's turn to the gospel of this weekend. And folks, by the way, in our Live It Gathering Guide, which again is an endeavor for our cultures and our homes to be streams of living water, to experience the Trinitarian nature that we are, our most noble identity, unsurpassed, is made possible by this Live It Gathering Guide at ilovemyfamily.us. And the first question we ask as part of this guide before the gospel or the readings is, what struck you, challenged you, inspired you? What questions did it raise? So I'm going to ask you, brothers and sisters listening right now, before Stephanie proclaims this gospel, to consider, as she's going to proclaim it now, what strikes you, challenges you, inspires you? What questions does it raise?
The gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Mm. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My quick first response to the question, what strikes me, challenges me, inspires me, what questions does it raise, is the word condemned. First of all, it appears God did not send his Son, God, to condemn us. So just start there. How many of us have an inner false formation of thinking about matters, religion, and faith as a matter of condemnation? Like this big stern hand pointing at us where we labor under this cloud forever of shame, regardless of what we do or say. That may have been prominent in times past, and I might even say maybe today's culture for decades is a reaction to a false understanding of God as one coming to condemn, and it's a reaction to say, well, then forget that. I'm going to do what I want because I can't, you know, live in his light or grace anyways. Why try? You know, the second condemn then is whoever believes in him will not be condemned. It's a little bit like the highway and the berms and, if you will, the laws. Law sounds like a stern, tyrannical sort of understanding, but really the law is kind of like the contour of happiness. We cannot determine the lines, the rules, the contour of happiness. It determines us. Like the road, we can pretend that those berms aren't there and go at it 70 miles an hour. We're going to get smashed. You know, we really can't break it. We can only be broken against it. So the condemned thing there is an awareness that there's a very narrow path when you're driving down the highway that we get when we drive. Like, we get that there is a narrow path when we drive and we observe it, we respect it. We have to take courses and, you know, go through the hoops to kind of, you know, get the license to do that. This is really not that much different. I mean, folks who are driving, I don't want to be on the same road with somebody who disregards that because it's tyrannical or authoritative. Accordingly, in the spiritual life, God gave his Son when people were smashing into the berms and thinking they could create their own path to say, wait. I'm giving you my Son because he's going to show you the lines of truth, the lines that are going to guide us together down this path to wholeness. So then the third one makes sense. The third time he speaks of condemnation, whoever does not believe, and by that I think it means disregard. Those who disregard the laws, the traffic laws, right? The laws of the road are broken. They're in a sense condemned. I'm equating the word condemned with just broken. So where does that leave us now? Any who are listening, we've all chosen in different times and places to go our own route, to go our own way, thinking we can do it on our own, whatever that may be internally, perhaps internally lust, arrogance, pride, and that translates into actions. That's all a choice of running into a berm full speed ahead. And we're going to experience the condemnation. We're going to experience the brokenness of it. So the invitation to us in this reading is to look at Jesus, who's lifted up above the road. As the Son of Man is lifted up, to look at the glory of God who's made us for himself, for more than this fleeting age. The many identities that compete for our allegiance, our ultimate identity is sons and daughters of God in Jesus Christ. So of the many pathways straight ahead, seeing Jesus lifted up, as Moses lifted up a serpent in the desert, to keep our eyes fixed on him, that our hearts and minds might be forged by that. And that's the whole essence of the word repent, to turn. We may be going the opposite direction. We may be going 5 degrees to the right or to the left. Repent is to say, gosh, my way, I'm experiencing the condemnation. It hurts. It's painful. And the best thing, by the way, we can do for those in our homes who are away from the church, who are struggling, is to see that this isn't just a juridical, tyrannical, you must do this or do that. No, it's in our hearts to see that God made us for this intimacy with him. That's the ultimate point. God gave us his son, Jesus, not just that we go down this road and make it to heaven, but so right now we can experience the glory of his loving presence if we choose him and experience him. That the sacraments we experience aren't just disciplines that are empty, like Ezekiel 37, right? It's not just dry bones. He wants us to experience the vitality in life right now, a taste of heaven. That's the whole purpose of the kingdom and Christ coming to earth and why we proclaim what we proclaim. And do we not see it punctuated by the world around us via negativa? Do we not see the brokenness of those who presume to choose aside from it? And oh, by the way, many who maybe carry the name of the church in some fashion, have a role with the church historically, but have misrepresented it. That's maybe even a greater tragedy, that we have the wounds of those who purported to be in the name of Christ, but did not act and live according to that nature. So, man, that's a little bit more than a sprinkle. That's a fire hose.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Steph, your thoughts.
So, yeah. So I guess for me, how easy it is to gloss over the most incredible gift ever. And it's like we should get stuck in it. Mm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Even just that part of the sentence. Mm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Like we see, you know, the John 3:16 thing at all the sporting events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hear this all the time, right? It's the kernel of our salvation. Mm. Like, this is what it's all about, right? So that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Like, even just to, so you ask, you know, what struck you as part of the question, mm-hmm. right? Like, I want to keep getting struck by that. Mm. So, no dissertation on what that means, but just praying for the grace that you, that myself, that our listeners, all of us, that this gift of a person, like we can just, that we were given, that we can just sit with that and over and over and over again, ask the Lord to allow it to penetrate our heart, right? Like we've been so moved, like to the point of tears from people, even for us recently with some different things going on, who, you know, just expressed such kindness and goodness and love in such a beautiful human way that, of course, grace flows through them from the Lord, right?
You know who you are,
but that, like, that's nothing. You know, God gave his son. He chose to sacrifice his son for us so that we could choose to spend all eternity with him. Mm-hmm. And so, again, this is what Lent's about. This is what our life is about. This is what salvation is about. This is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about proclamation and pursuits. Proclaim this truth and pursue what it means. Know the pursuit of our Heavenly Father, not as, like you said, this judge, you know, just in that fashion, but a fatherly, loving heart who desires with everything to be with his children, for his children to be with him. And so I guess that's, I want to say that's all I got, but like,
it's everything. That's
wow.
On point.
Like, let's, like, seriously, just spend time in that. I want to spend more time in that. And I mean, you could spend a lifetime there, right? And then the only other thing I will say, you touched on a little bit, but the whole idea of light, right? That we may truly pray to be open for the Lord to expose what needs to come into the light. Because I think too often we think we're okay and we don't realize the darkness that we're in. Like if we're in a room and it's kind of, you know, dusk or whatever, and your eyes kind of adjust and you don't realize how dark. Obviously, if it's like pitch black, you know, right? But like as the light is fading, you don't really realize the darkness that's settling in, and that, but someone comes in and turns on a light and you're like, wow, I didn't realize I needed that. And wow, now I can see what's really going on. Lord, give us the grace to do that in our own spiritual lives, whatever that looks like. I think too often we let that little bit of dimness settle in and these little sins, quote unquote, because there's nothing little about any sin, right? And we just get comfortable there. And it's like, no, I want to live in the brightness and the light of truth. I want to come more deeply into his light and to live there, because that's where the grace is. That's where the life is.
So good. All of us have opportunities with the resources we've been given, blessed with, to be blessers. I'd like to be all in. I say I'm all in, but I'm mindful that I'm so far from the mark. But you were inspired from a beloved friend, Denise DeRocher, from Mother Divine Grace, this beautiful soul friend who invited you to a retreat a year ago in her home. And it was really kind of customized in her home and picked some close friends. And for any who are listening, a prompting, you can do special in your own home.
Long story short, it's been on my heart for a while, but many of you listeners can resonate with this. Just because it's on your heart doesn't mean that one takes the action step. So I really prayed, because we are blessed with so many dear, beautiful friends who are true witnesses in the faith, and that we are blessed to grow in relationship with the Lord together. And so I just asked the Lord, because I wanted to keep it small, and so that each person would also have some private space in our home and for that prayer time, that solo time with the Lord. So anyway, just that the Lord would pick the people and I would extend the invitation. So it was just a very powerful day. It was a first Saturday, so invited the women, if they were able and wanted to start with Mass. First Saturday Mass over at St. Rose, and then the day began at 9, and just the fellowship over meals, both breakfast and lunch, and getting to experience each other in that way. There's nothing like time around the table, especially for women. But then I just felt very much the Spirit guiding the theme and the different talks and the discussions. And so it seemed to be, I can say for myself and the little bit of feedback that I got, just a very powerful response to just a simple yes and opening up. And so hoping to do it again soon, just kind of extend it to the others that the Lord puts on my heart to do that. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No,
I'm being kind of vague, but just... Yes. So just
a home is a place where it can happen. You initiated it. Wasn't a Crisio Chirp, Ignite, Acts, all wonderful. They exist. But every person who's listening right now has the capacity to bring people together for a focused time of going deeper. There's so many great resources to hear great talks that you can. And folks, if you're looking for resources, like what's a great 40-minute talk for women that covers these subjects, like you had on your mind a certain theme, you know, of the heart. And you did some good inquiry about what might be great guidance from some phenomenal speakers. Literally, folks, it's like having a top level conference in our living room.
Right in your home.
No, yeah. See, I mean, we have that capability. Yeah. Are we taking advantage of it, and how it sanctifies our home also?
Also, I will say that some of the women that I was blessed to be with don't get the opportunity to break away very often from their families, and I don't mean that in a negative way. So mom's responsibilities are pretty huge, and especially if you have lots of little ones. So I just felt so honored to give that gift which it wasn't me giving it, it was the Lord, but to provide and cooperate with that opportunity that they might experience that. In fact, you know, just the expression of, I don't think I've ever had that much just quiet time, you know, which really wasn't a ton, but just so, yeah. So praise God.
So folks, you're tuning into Ignite Radio Live. You can listen to more of our podcasts. Again, Heaven Come to Earth is our theme. We're wanting to make it a proclamation, but also a pursuit. Stephanie, just sharing with us an initiative in our home with women, a retreat. And we also shared just recently in this program tonight an invite to anybody who desires to be personally prayed over, struggling with whatever in your life. Just overcome your reluctance, overcome your fears, and send an email, alive@massimpact.us. God is not limited to that place, that time, those people. He's equipped us to be that occasion. I can't say that strongly enough. And maybe if you've heard Stephanie right now and you are inclined to want a retreat such as that, send an email for that purpose also. Again, alive@massimpact.us. Hey, I'd love to have a retreat, a men's retreat, or be part of that, Greg, or a woman's retreat, Stephanie, in your home. We're going to be doing more and more of that. We're just led to it. You know, we have six beautiful children, age 18 to 25. And, you know, other than seeing them, which we're so blessed to so often, we now have this home that God has given us, a sacred, holy place of encounter, and we want to increasingly make it a place of grace, a place of encounter.
You know, as I encouraged my sisters in Christ, like, okay, some powerful moments in the grace of this day, but what difference will it make, right? So we can just feel good about ourselves and these moments that the Lord blessed us with and remember them, or what is that one thing or two things, but start simple, that we will commit to.
Yep.
What difference did something today make? And put it into action, put it into practice.
And our men's group was exactly the same. And all along, we've asked the question, how is this going to move us along the hinge, really from receiving, absorbing on the consumer side to being instruments of it outpoured? The hinge swinging from, I want the next thing to feed me, fill me, whatever. Well, again, back to that scripture passage, how are we spending it? How are we, you know, with the currency of God's grace pouring into us, are our minds habituated to considering whom are we meant to reach? How are we being game changers? How is the world going to be different as a result of our action, by the way, beginning in our marriages and families? And I would say that's the heart of our partnership with Father Ricardo, the peace we bring, this Rescue Project Home Edition, is that as we're going through this, we're inviting the men and women to consider, whom might you do this again with? Who's one person that you might invite, even though you've been through it, that you don't have the consumer mentality, been there, done that, on to the next, but the mindset of, I would like to go through this again with somebody that I know well, so there's currency there, that might journey with me and experience this, that I can be an occasion of loving support. Ideally, a brother, sister, son, or daughter. Again, somebody closest to you. That's what we've done. A few of the men, this is the first time, have chosen sons, son-in-laws, brothers. We are so blessed to see us expand beyond this place of just feed me, God, on with the next thing, as you describe it, Catholic program junkies. The only way we get out of that and we give witness to the world is when we begin thinking, how am I part of the team? How am I an instrument of God's grace? We need to shift now into the conclusion where we discuss consequential issues, consequential things happening in the world, and we reiterate some of these reveal a heaviness of things around us, and we can't say strongly enough precisely why we need to enter in this world, precisely why God equips us to be occasions of seeing it baptized. The difficult person who's swearing all the time, or the decisions that are made by those closest to us, God gave us to them. We are the answer to their spoken or unspoken prayers of, God, where are you? Anybody who says, I don't believe in God, or, you know, he doesn't speak to me, we're the answer to that. You know, if we're absorbing the grace of these moments of conferences and retreats, I keep saying it again and again and again, something's got to shift where we realize he makes us answers to those things. So from CatholicVote.org, blessed to be supporting them. You can read every day, probably 3-4 minutes, little tidbits. And if you want to click on more, there's a little read button after each little tidbit. We're just going to read the tidbits in a spirit of prayer. Number one, slamming the in vitro fertilization industry for profiting off of couples' fears and struggles. Prominent pro-life activist Kristen Hawkins offered pro-lifers advice on how to talk about IVF. Quote, to start, the pro-life movement's criticisms of IVF do not mean that children created via IVF are less worthy of life than other children.
Huge topic for us to be aware of and educated in and to pray for, because huge implications all over the place. Next story. At a Friday audience, Pope Francis issued a sharp rebuke of far-left gender ideology. Quote, today, the ugliest danger is gender ideology, which cancels out differences, Francis declared. Erasing differences is erasing humanity.
Let's celebrate that, by the way, when some of us experience sometimes where doctrine is at stake, that confusion is allowed to exist. When we see from our Holy Father proclamations that are so consequential and true, meriting our prayer, and maybe even indicating, right, it takes a lot of testicular fortitude to lean into that reality and make a difference. So God bless our Pope, and let's support that and share that and celebrate it. Number three, New York Democrat Attorney General Letitia James drew widespread criticism after she blasted the Christian baker who owns Masterpiece Cake Shop. He, quote, refused to make a customer a cake when they found out it was to celebrate her transition, unquote, James wrote. Observers note that James failed to mention the true nature of the trans customer's request, which was obscene and demonic.
So lots of controversy surrounding her.
Can I just say also, folks, the testimony there is stand strong regardless of the consequence. Stand strong in your work, in your business, when subjects come up, when you're at the boardroom table, when policy decisions are being made. We're meant to stand in the gap, even if it means loss of our jobs. This has gone all the way to the Supreme Court. Who are the heroes we celebrate, right? We don't celebrate those who just hold a conviction and are silent and unheard of. By the way, Cabrini, great movie coming out pretty soon. We delighted in seeing it, got a special
March
showing
8th,
of it.
I think.
An example of a saint in our church who did exactly that, stood strong in the wake of challenging things coming out. We're going to be held accountable. All it takes for evil to exist is for good men to do or say nothing.
So I'm not sure if this is a story to celebrate or be a little appalled by. I'll let you decide. A poll of scientists at British universities found that 58% believe sex is binary, quote unquote, divided between male and female. 29% of respondents agreed with the statement that sex is not binary, while 13% of respondents did not share a view on the question or preferred not to say.
Come on, people. Seriously. What strikes me with this, in fairness, is putting the two words together, science and belief. X, Y, or XX, those are the options. And I realize there are aberrations, obviously, in nature. But XX and XY, that's binary. It means two. So the fact that British universities, scientists at British universities, only 58% said it's binary or quote-unquote believe is a little bit troubling to me. And that 29% say it's not binary, problematic. Anyways, number four, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Friday announced new guidelines, surprise, surprise, regarding COVID-19, including treating the virus like the flu and dropping a 5-day quarantine requirement. The CDC significantly dialed back a number of other precautions regarding the virus as well.
Could say so much, but will not say a word, which should speak volumes.
I just need to say that this is another mark along a path that is proposes to be science, but where the determination of even the word vaccine has been changed at least two or three times begs the question, what do you mean when you say science, when it can change at the whim? And who's driving it and to what end? Just asking the questions. Who's driving the determination, the narrative, and to what end? And I'm just going to suggest, do a little research, do a little study. Nobody's perfect. Read Kennedy, McCullough, Malone. Again, not pronouncing them as infallible, but the studies that merit consideration, you're going to find a money trail. Just saying. Next story, number five.
Actually, it's number six, but okay. That's why I don't do numbers, because we mess them up. After Mary and Jeremy Cox refused to use trans pronouns for their teenage son, Indiana Child Services removed the boy from his home. Here is the latest on what the Catholic couple calls a parental nightmare, and they have the story linked. Unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. that they can come into your home and remove a child, your child, because you don't give in to an ungodly movement. Oh my gosh.
Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and that applies to all of us. These things are happening because somewhere along the line, somebody didn't speak when they knew truth, didn't stand up in a boardroom, in a family living room, wherever you're at, and truth is at stake, the lines are going to keep being erased if we aren't willing to speak the truth, and to the point where it becomes institutional, and that's what we're seeing now. A shocking report reveals Biden is covering for anti-Christian hate groups who have attacked hundreds of Catholic churches since 2020. Quote, "We can expect more attacks on Catholic churches. We have not seen a single federal prosecution of these attacks," said Tommy Valentine of Catholic Votes Catholic Accountability Project. So again, hundreds and hundreds of attacks on Catholic churches, not a single prosecution. Unbelievable, and meriting our prayer.
Absolutely.
And the next story, which definitely validates that, Planned Parenthood is allegedly transferring proprietary aborted baby body parts to the University of California, San Diego, quote, "in exchange for ownership of the university's patents and, quote, intellectual property created through experiments." The Center for Medical Progress discovered the contract via a public records request. Unbelievable. Folks, you just heard me accurately. It has to be repeated again. Planned Parenthood, which is funded substantially by yours and my tax dollars, by the way, you know, if it's pro-choice and governments stay out of it and they should choose, why are we funding? Why am I compelled to for them to fund, number one, killing babies, but in this case, selling the body parts to a university in exchange for ownership in the patents and intellectual property created through the experiments? No, it's a profit incentive for those who are having an abortion. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Awaken our hearts and minds. And by the way, at the legislative breakfast, which was fabulous a couple weeks ago on a Friday, I was really struck by the courage of the politicians, Merlino and Sprague in particular, but others, where the conversation is no longer just in the shallows about politics, but evidently invoking the need for us to be mindful that this is a battle of souls, a battle for souls, a battle for awakening to whose we are. Inescapable, especially given the fact that abortion is now turning from locations, physical places, that in the advent of Roe v. Wade being turned stricken down by Dobbs, now it's a pharmaceutical thing. Now it's accessible through drugs and it's personalized. So all the more we need to be praying for conversion ourselves, repentance ourselves for what's happening, but also to stand in the gap and be instruments of God's grace.
I just want to echo the gospel reading about light. Let us bring these things to light, right?
Amen.
Expose the darkness. And finally, former President Donald Trump and President Joe Biden are heading for a rematch in November after Super Tuesday results. Trump swept all but two of the 15 Republican nomination contests, including two states where officials attempted to remove him from the ballot, which the Supreme Court said, you can't do that. Nikki Haley scored one win in the reliable Democratic state of Vermont, only her second primary victory after she won in deep blue Washington, D.C. And she has also resigned from the race.
Indeed. Folks, so glad that you are with us on this journey. Ignite Radio Live. Again, check us out, igniteradiolive.com, on every podcast platform. We invite you to consider being prayed over for whatever your needs may be. If you want to be prayed over in a special, powerful way, send us an email at alive@massimpact.us. Join us for a special Ignite Lenten edition taking place Thursday, March 21st at St. John the Baptist Point Place, massimpact.us/ignite. And as always, we are a full-time mission endeavoring to build the kingdom, invite families to build the kingdom. We're called to be heaven on earth. We're called to be his presence on this earth in powerful ways. Please partner with us. Certainly your prayers and your engagement, but your financial support. By the way, no amount is too little or too great for that matter. We have a board that guides these decisions and enables this to continue. We'd love to extend this reach to so many, many more. You can help us do that. Go to massimpact.us, click on that partner tab. Again, massimpact.us, click on that partner tab. And again, thank you so much. Know that he is Lord. whatever's going on in your life, just declare it again and again. Jesus, you are Lord over this. You're Lord over this circumstance. You're Lord over my marriage. You're Lord over my family. You're Lord over this world. Everything we read and experience in the news, Jesus, you are Lord over it all. Brothers and sisters, let that be a resounding hymn during Lent. Dominus, he is Lord. He's Lord over all. And we ask this in his name through Christ our Lord. Until next time, God bless you.
Count that.